RockZone.com.
Now, the Wild About Pets radio show, the place to learn something new about household pets and wild animals. Here's your host, educator and naturalist Susan Frank.
Hello, and welcome to Wild About Pets. This is the place we talk in depth to leading authors and experts about household pets or wild animals. This week, we're going to be talking about wild animals. To make your listening experience more enjoyable, I have a companion website, wildaboutpets.net, that allows you to see photographs of the animals we will be talking about on the show. To look at these pictures while you are listening, click the purple Look While You Listen button you see on the Talk Zone homepage. Have you ever had wild animals take up a residence in your home or business? Did you know what to do to move them out or prevent them from coming back in? It's not always a simple one-step solution with the possibility of there being hidden babies in your attic in addition to an adult, or hidden pathways you can't see into your home. A summer ago, a friend of mine had a skunk family move in under his front stoop. No matter how many times he cemented up the holes they used as their doorways, they kept digging their way in, and even with all the attempts to make their home smell unpleasant with ammonia-soaked rags and mothballs, that didn't stop them from living right by his front door. So what can you do to prevent animals from moving in, encourage them to leave, or know who to call or when to call for professional help? My guest today is Kevin Clark, founder and CEO of Critter Control, the nation's leading wildlife control company, and he has the answers. Welcome, Kevin. I am thrilled to have you on the show today.
Good afternoon, Susan.
Kevin founded Critter Control in 1983 and has successfully set the standards of the animal removal industry. His technicians are certified wildlife specialists. Certified wildlife specialists, and he'll be telling us what that means. And they focus on ecologically sound and humane animal control solutions for homeowners and businesses. Coming from a background of educators, Kevin has made educating the public about wildlife a part of the mission of his company. And Critter Control is unusual in that they are a franchised system, and they have over 130 locations across the U.S. and a few in Canada, so they can help all throughout this country. I have some photos of the animals that we will be talking about today, so if you'd like to see them while you are listening, click the purple Look While You Listen button that you see here on the Talk Zone .com page. This will take you right to the photos on my website, wildaboutpets.net, so you can look while you listen. Also, our phone lines are open today. It's August 14th. We are live here. And so if you'd like to join our conversation and ask Kevin Clark a question about wildlife and your home or business, just call 888-463-6748. Again, it's August 14th. We're live. And the number to call is 888-GO-FOR-IT. Kevin, it seems that more than ever before across the country, I hear people talking about wild animals coming in closer contact with them in or around their homes. Is this true that this is changing? And if so, why is this happening?
There's actually been a definite increase over the last 20 or 30 years of human-wildlife conflicts. There are a number of reasons for this, including less people that hunt and trap and therefore are less able to take care of it themselves. And a bigger thing has to do with habitat destruction and man moving into previously, you know, wild areas. So when we move into those places, animals adapt. They're very have great ability to adapt to the environment and the situation around them. So what you get is, for instance, raccoons that if there's no more hollow trees, for instance, to nest in, chimney makes a perfect replica, if you will, of a cement hollow tree.
Mm-hmm.
All these raccoons for generations that are born in chimneys are now imprinted on chimneys as a substitute for that hollow tree.
Oh, you know, I never knew that. So as they grow up and leave their nest, so to speak, they're going to go search for their own homes, and they won't look for the hollow trees. They will look for chimneys, is what you're saying?
Well, they're opportunistic. They will take either one. But, certainly more chimneys than hollow trees out there when you have all the land clearing and so on.
Sure. We're going to be talking about raccoons, and in fact, you can see some pictures, and I know you had mentioned that raccoons are one of the most common animals you deal with, and so again, we are looking at some photos that I selected, and we have some photos from your website, and you can see these by clicking the purple Look While You Listen button on the Talk Zone page, and we're looking at photo number one and two that, you know, show some of the contact of raccoons, because I know people do have some trees around their homes, but yet they have had issues with raccoons. So, all right, that explains it. They make good homes. What are some of the other reasons why the animals are choosing to come into our homes, though, instead of using their natural dens, let's say?
Well, there's again, raccoons are opportunistic. They're going to live under decks and you know, sewers. They'll live in any number of places, but construction gaps to homes often lead, or homes that get older and make access, a raccoon can literally rip off a roof vent off the house and gain access. And that's another reason. It's a reason that's very important not to just watch an animal leave at night. Sometimes, you know, people think that's the cure. Okay, the raccoon has left. I'm going to board up the hole, and my problem is solved. The problem is just beginning because there's babies locked inside. They come back and rip off 100 shingles in a night trying to get back in, that's when the problems really begin. But again, it is sort of an increasing phenomenon, if you will. Something that wasn't very common 30, 40, 50 years ago is increasing more and more so today. And there was an international panel of wildlife scientists that studied the trend and indicates that it's going to be a growing trend for decades yet to come.
So I suppose that means your services and businesses like yours are going to be that much more critical.
Well, that not only the private sector, but we have to look at the public safety and health impacts of this, swine flu, avian flu, hantavirus, all these different things. The government certainly has a hand in helping us with the you know, the more critical health and safety issues as well.
Well, there's so many things to talk about, and I'll kind of go back and touch on some of the things you mentioned, but let's talk a little bit more. So, yes, people hear often that they're supposed to cap their chimneys, and if you're saying that raccoons are very adept at, you know, ripping those off and other things to get to their babies to get back in, what can be done then, Kevin?
Well, roof vents are what I said, that they rip off, and they can take off some chimney caps if they're not bolted or sealed down properly. If you think about it, a chimney is the biggest opening to your home, usually besides a pet door, for instance, or other small vents, but it is flat out open most of the time unless it's properly capped. And I must warn people not to put hardware cloth flat across the chimney and then band it on. The BOCA codes require 4 times the net free area of the chimney opening, which means you have to have about an 8-inch high basket of wire so that it doesn't ice up on top or get leaves on it or otherwise restrict the flow.
Makes sense.
Important to have, even if you do it yourself, it's important to do it right and have at least the 8-inch basket up there. So that's the number one area where animals can come in, and birds, squirrels, raccoons, bats, I've seen ducks and owls in chimneys, chimney swifts. There's all types of animals that will come in to the house through the chimney. If they fall to the bottom, the only way they can get out sometimes is to, you know, trip the damper and make their way inside the house where they can, you know, do extensive damage. For, you know, bolting on chimney caps, or whether they're black galvanized or stainless steel, they come in copper. There's all types of options for you there, or just plain screens. We also have roof vent guards now, which go over the roof vents, and they're sort of a metal cage that are designed, they're low profile, and you know, look fine, but they go over the standard roof vents, which are meant to keep out the weather and not the larger animals.
And these are things that people can buy at hardware stores on their own?
They can buy them at hardware stores on their own. Something like a roof vent guard. You may have to do an internet search for roof vent guard. You'll find them there. At our wildlife management supplies online, we carry those as well.
Okay, because obviously I know we're going to talk about the preventative measures, which I think is what you're going to say is the key for homeowners, that they've got to do what's called exclusion, which means prevent the animals from getting in the first place. And so, we'll talk a little bit about where people can find out what they can do themselves. But obviously, once the animals are in, that's when you would be coming in, because, as you say, there could be babies that are hidden, and it's a lot more involved once the animals, have taken up residence. But so for people to find to know what they can do themselves, are there some tips that you would have? Let's say for the animals that will get into the chimneys.
Well, again, the chimney caps are your number one line of defense for the chimneys. As far as for consumers to find out, if they go to our website at crittercontrol.com, you can check on animal facts. You can look at all these different animals and all the suggested ways to control or exclude them or do habitat modification, things that will make the property less desirable to them. And again, exclusion and habitat modification are a really big part of this. And again, educating the customer as to things that they're doing that are attracting the animals, such as leaving pet food outside.
Right.
If you have fruit trees, you want to clean the fruit up off the ground, just so they're, gardens or bird seed, things that attract animals. If you've got the food, all they need is the shelter, and they can make a home right there.
Yeah, and that's one of the points, that if they do have a good food source around there, then don't they look for the next best thing, which is, okay, I got my food, now I just need my little home, and that's part of the whole circle.
Absolutely. Again, they're opportunistic, so they're going to take the easiest things out there, whether it's shelter or food.
All right. So what are the circumstances, Kevin, in which a homeowner really needs to call in a professional?
Well, there's certainly some things that the homeowners can do themselves, everything from harassing animals. Sometimes if you get a adult raccoon that's just moved into a chimney, for instance, to stay over the winter or before they have their young in the spring, sometimes simply playing loud music inside the fireplace, put in a boombox in there and just driving them crazy, driving them out, but you have to then be sure that they're gone after a couple of days and then cap that chimney. So there are some simple things that homeowners can do. They can, of course, buy or rent traps or borrow traps and sometimes trap an animal by himself, but it takes more than a trap to be a trapper. You have to have intimate knowledge of these animals' habits and biology, what their backgrounds are, to set them in the right place and get the right animal and fully take care of it. And then there are certainly sometimes when it comes to more dangerous animals that it's definitely not recommended for the homeowner to become involved.
Like, which kind of animals are you referring to?
Well, I mean, you don't want to necessarily crawl into an attic with a raccoon. I mean, things like alligators and rattlesnakes. there's a bunch of them that, very few people want to deal with.
Yes, and I have some photos of some of the more unusual animals that you've had to deal with, and I suppose the more dangerous ones that we'll look at in a while. Let's talk a little bit more about the traps, because I do have a photo from your website of a raccoon in one of your more humane ones. And one of the reasons why I was impressed with your company, Kevin, is obviously you've gone to great lengths to make sure you're ecologically responsible and use humane removal techniques. Tell us, what exactly does those two terms, ecologically responsible and humane removal, mean?
Well, we have to look at it again. We know that a lot of these animals were here first. We feel it's important to, get them, have as little impact on their lives as possible. The most ideal situation is when we can put up, let's say, a one-way door in front of the animal's den, which allows it out but not back in. So in that case, that animal probably has alternative den sites and nests and resting places that it goes to. So there's a situation where you can have a minimal impact on the animal get it out, seal up the hole. And when a customer calls and they say, well, there's a raccoon in the tree, you know, that's not necessarily, we tried not to go out and set a trap for that animal. We would inform the customer, educate them that, hey, that's where raccoons are supposed to be. If they're not doing damage, if they're not a health hazard, if they're not acting sick, you know, then we want to leave those animals alone. So having, you know, having minimum impact. Another thing we can do sometimes is capture the animal alive on site, and then let's say we know he's in the chimney, and we trap that animal, and then we put the chimney cap on, and then simply release that animal on site. So again, it has all these alternative den sites that know where its food is. You know, relocating them. If and again, a lot of this is dictated by state law. We have to follow whatever the state laws are on these animals, and we know that the preferred thing is to either release that animal on site. An alternative there is catch and release in a, you know, what we consider a feel good is when we move that animal to suitable habitat and release it. And there are other states that they require us to put certain species down. If it's if there's a rabies, high-risk rabies carriers, for instance, and there are rabies prevalent in the area, some of those states require that the animals be humanely euthanized.
Yeah, and I get referring to that, I want to talk about the story I mentioned in my introduction about skunks. Because I used to work at a nature center for about 11 years, and during that time, it was, you know, 1989 to, you know, for the next 10 years, I know we went through a period where all skunks did have to be euthanized, or meaning, you know, put down or put to death. And I was wondering, is that still the case, Kevin? And I don't, you know, I suppose you know about some parts in the country, but for the Midwest, is there still, you know, that law that they are worried that the skunks are carrying rabies,
again,
or has that passed by?
It varies state by state. I think there's a problem with rabies coming in from like Pennsylvania into Ohio, so those states were affected and had some bans on it. But places like Michigan have the option. It's optional between the customer and the control agent whether the animal can be, you know, released on site or relocated or needs to be euthanized.
I see, because getting back to the story of my friend who we tried everything, and we tried to discourage them, and, you know, what my friend was doing is, you know, trying to cement the holes, and I had known that a way to see if they've come out at night, to, you know, to go about their business, is putting a dusting of flour right in front of their doorways. So you can see their paw prints. And of course we could see that. And so once we knew they had, you know, left, he would cement up the holes again. But inevitably,
sure. You know, well, they're prolific diggers.
Yes.
And again, it'll depend on the time of year too. Uh-huh. We don't use so much flour because it can be affected by moisture, for instance. But just simply crumpling up a newspaper and sticking it in the hole or filling the hole with leaves. You know, are simple things you can do to see, or putting some little bit of masking tape across the hole, see if it's pushed out of the way. You know, those are simple things you can do, as well as certainly you can use flour and sift it there and look for the footprints, and that would actually tell us exactly what type of animal is in there by the footprint. And then the other thing you have to be careful of, if it's cold out, if you're doing this in February, for instance, and you saw the animal for a couple of days because it got up to 50 degrees and they decide to get out and move around during their breeding season, you know, you might do it, and the next night it might only get up to 40, and that animal might not come out, even though it's still,
right,
still in there. So you have to be careful about, again, blocking them in. But one of the things we do for that situation, instead of cementing the hole, is putting in what we call rat walls or rat screens, where you dig a trench maybe a foot deep and a foot wide, and you fasten hardware cloth, half-inch hardware cloth across the deck, for instance, and you take it down into the ground a foot, and then you L it, make an L shape out away from the deck. If it just went straight down, again, they're prolific diggers, and they will go down and get underneath of it, you know, to a distance of 2 feet, maybe even 3 feet. But if you L it away from where they want to go, as soon as it quits going the direction they want to go, they give up.
Oh. So
you can dig a rat wall and do it yourself. And again, but that's a, you know, very labor intensive, and it's got to be done just right to be effective, and most often it's better left to a professional to install it so you have a guarantee and don't waste your time.
We should have done that. Well, it's time we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.